whitened. But that means she whirled back to the bay. It's gone, breathed Agatha, for the schoolmaster's sky-high silver tower, once guarding the halfway point between moat and lake, had simply disappeared. No, it's not, Sophie said, still eyeing the school for evil. Now Agatha saw why there were four towers there instead of three. The schoolmaster's tower had moved to evil. He's alive, Agatha cried, gaping at his silver spire. But how? Sophie pointed. Look! In the tower's single window, veiled by fog, a shadow stared down at them. All they could see of its face was a gleaming silver mask. It's him, Sophie hissed. He's leading evil. Agatha, Sophie! The girls swiveled from the lilies to see Professor Dovey running from Good Castle in her green high-necked gown. Come quickly! As the two girls hurried behind her through Good's golden gates, Agatha glanced back at the schoolmaster's tower and the masked shadow in the window. All they had to do was kill him again, and her mistake would be hidden forever. They'd go home safe, her promise to Stefan kept, and Sophie would never know what she'd wished for. Looking up at that shadow lording over evil, Agatha waited for her heart to rage with purpose, to propel her into battle. But instead, her heart did something else. It fluttered, the way a princess's did in storybooks, when she saw her prince. Chapter 5. The Other School. As she and Sophie sprinted behind Professor Dovey into the mirrored corridor, Agatha tried to find her breath. Professor Dovey was a famous fairy godmother who'd always looked out for her. She had to give them the answers. "Who are those red hoods?" Agatha asked. "How did the schoolmaster survive?" said Sophie. "Why are the Nevers on his side?" said Agatha. "Quiet!" Professor Dovey snapped, erasing their footsteps with her magic wand. "We don't have much time." "You don't seem surprised to see us," Agatha whispered, but her fairy godmother didn't respond as she rushed them into Good's deserted foyer, magically bolting doors behind them. Only months ago, Sophie had eviscerated the hall in her witch's revenge on Agatha and Tedros, blasting its stained glass windows, spiral staircases, and marble floors to shards. But now, the two friends drew breaths at its redone facade. Where there used to be two pink staircases and two blue, all four stairwells were now the same royal blue as the castle. Lit by high stained glass windows, the staircases spiraled up to the dormitory towers, names tattooed on richly decorated balusters. Honor, valor, purity, and charity. Agatha had loathed the prissy princess pink of the purity and charity towers, but seeing them turned the same color as the prince towers gave her an unsettled feeling. Sophie nudged her, and Agatha turned to see her peering curiously at the Legends obelisk in the center of the foyer, a soaring crystal column blanketed with portrait frames. Inside each of the frames was a painting of a past student, next to a storybook illustration of what the child became upon graduation. But looking up at the gold-framed Evers on top, who became princesses and queens, the silver-framed ones in the middle, who became helpers and sidekicks, and the bottom-rung lot, who became cinder-sweepers and servants, the two girls noticed something peculiar. "Where are the boys?" Sophie said. For all their portraits, had been removed. Agatha swung her head toward the honor staircase. The frieze of knights and kings had been replaced with a frieze of sword-brandishing, chain-mailed princesses. Sophie swiveled to the Valor staircase, once decorated with burly hunters and their trusty hounds, now huntresses in houndskins and decidedly female dogs. Both girls twirled to the lettered murals across the walls that once spelled E-V-E-R and now spelled G-I-R-L. "It is a school for girls," said Agatha, thunderstruck. "What happened to good?"
"We can't fight the schoolmaster without boys," cried Sophie.
"Shh," Professor Dovey hissed, rushing them up the Valor staircase.
"No one must know you're here."
As the girls chased her elegant, silver-haired bun through Valor's princely blue arches and murals, they gawked at the once virile visions of princes destroying demons and saving helpless princesses, now flaunting different endings. Snow White smashing out of her glass coffin with her fists, Red Riding Hood slitting the wolf's throat, Sleeping Beauty setting her spindle on fire. The red-blooded princes, hunters, men who rescued them, who saved their lives, gone.
"It's like Everboys never existed," whispered Agatha.
"Maybe the schoolmaster killed them all," whispered Sophie.
She suddenly heard soft tinkling and twirled to see three glowing blue butterflies peeking from behind a wall. They caught her looking and, with a high-pitched meep, ducked and disappeared.
"What is it?" Agatha said, glancing back.
"Hurry!"
Professor Dovey scolded, and the two girls scampered to follow, stooping past the laundry, where 2 7-foot floating nymphs scrubbed sudsy blue bodices, through the supper hall, where enchanted pots stewed saffron rice and lentil soup, and past the Valor common room to the rear stairwell. Exhausted and aching from their torments in the woods, Sophie and Agatha tried to keep up. But Professor Dovey was spryer than she looked.
"Where are we going?" Agatha panted.
"To the only other person who can keep you alive," her fairy godmother shot back, bustling up the stairs.
Sophie and Agatha instantly ran faster, up 5 long flights, to the lone white door on the 6th floor.
"Professor Seder's office," Agatha puffed, "but he's dead."
Professor Dovey ran her fingers over the raised blue dots on the former history teacher's door. It swung open without a sound, and Sophie and Agatha scrambled in behind her. A thin woman stood at the window, long black braid dangling over the back of her pointy-shouldered purple gown.
"Did anyone see you?"
"No,"
said Professor Dovey. Lady Lesso spun to Sophie and Agatha, violet eyes flashing.
"Then it's time they learned what they've done."
"We did this?" Agatha blurted.
"But we weren't even here," said Sophie, turning between the Dean of Evil at the window and the Dean of Good at Professor Seder's old desk, overflowing with open books.
Lady Lesso glowered at their dirt-smudged faces.
"In this world, actions have consequences. Endings have consequences."
"But our fairy tale ended happily,"
Sophie said. Professor Dovey let out a groan.
"Why don't you tell us how it ended?"
Lady Lesso sneered, blue veins throbbing.
"We killed the schoolmaster and solved his riddle,"
Sophie said.
"That's how Sophie and I went home," said Agatha.
"Clarissa, show them how it really ends,"
Lady Lesso growled. Professor Dovey flung a book across the desk. It was heavy and thick, bound with brown sheepskin and spattered with mud.
Agatha opened to the first soggy page. Black calligraphy, slightly smeared, spilled across fresh parchment. The Tale of Sophie and Agatha. Sophie turned the page to a richly coloured painting of her and Agatha standing before the schoolmaster. Once upon a time, the script below read, there were two girls. Agatha remembered the line. The Storian had written it to start their fairy tale when they broke into the schoolmaster's tower. Flipping the book's pages, Agatha saw her and Sophie's story unfold in a brilliant sweep of paintings. Sophie trying to win Tedros's kiss. Agatha saving Tedros's life in a brutal attack. Agatha and Tedros falling in love. Sophie transforming into a vengeful witch. The schoolmaster stabbing Sophie. Agatha reviving her with love's kiss. And then, the very last page, a dazzling vision of Tedros desperately reaching for Agatha as she and Sophie disappeared, three words beneath, to close their story. They were gone. Agatha felt tears rise, soaking in all the pain and love she and Sophie had shared to get home.
It's the perfect fairy tale, Sophie said, meeting Agatha's eyes with a choked-up smile.
They turned to the teachers, who looked deathly grim.
It's not over, said Lady Lesso.
The girls peered down at the book, confused, their grimy hands lifted to the last page, and they saw there was something on the other side. A painting of Tedros, back turned, walking into dark fog, all alone. And Sophie and Agatha lived happily ever after, for girls don't need princes for love to call. No, they don't need princes in their fairy tales at all.
This one's from Maidenvale, but you can find it anywhere, really. They're even telling it in Netherwood.
Sophie and Agatha raised their heads to Professor Dovey, frowning over the messy desk.
It's the only story anyone wants to hear.
Now the girls saw that all the open books weren't there by accident. Each book on the desk was spread to its last page. Some were in oil paints, some in watercolour, some in charcoal and ink. Some were in a language the girls knew, others in scripts they didn't. But all ended their version of The Tale of Sophie and Agatha the same way. Tedros, alone and unneeded, slumping into darkness.
Goodness, all this gloom because we're popular? Sophie said. You can't be surprised. Snow White and Cinderella are sweet and all, but who wants them when they can have me?
She turned to Agatha for support, but her friend was staring out the window.
Aggie?
Agatha didn't answer. Slowly she approached the window, and Lady Lesso stepped aside without a word. At Seda's desk, Professor Dovey held her breath. From the steep window, Agatha looked down at the blue forest, the enchanted training ground for good and evil, sprawled in an array of hues behind the school. It was as it always was, quiet and thriving despite the autumn chill, neatly fenced in by spiked golden gates. The sounds were coming from beyond the gates. At first she thought they were dead leaves, swathing the endless forest in tawny brown and orange beneath stripped, crooked trees. Then she looked closer and saw they were men. Thousands of them were crammed against the blue forest gates in a filthy homeless camp, hunched around fires like miserable peasants. She couldn't see faces, but she glimpsed scraggly beards and blackened cheeks, mottled breeches and bony legs, ripped coats, and sashes with gleaming crests. These weren't peasants. They were
princes,
Sophie gasped, looking out beside her.
"It's her,"
a voice screamed from the crowd, head swung to the tower window.
"It's the witch."
All at once, a savage mob rushed the forest gates.
"Death to Sophie! Kill her!
Kill the witch!"
The men fired arrows and catapulted stones at the tower, but the weapons instantly vanished into an enchanted shield, bubbly and violet-tinged, that appeared over the school gates. As the crowd roared and swung pickets, mounted with the same wanted signs the girls had seen in the woods, an intrepid prince leapt onto the spiked gates. The gold metal magically sizzled, and he let go in shock, impaling on spikes below. Sophie spun in horror.
"How can those be princes?" she cried.
"How can those be princes?"
Lady Lesso mimicked.
"Those princes are there because of you."
Agatha and Sophie gaped at each other. "We don't understand," Agatha spluttered. Professor Dovey ground her teeth. The only time Agatha had seen her fairy godmother this furious was when she had disobeyed a teacher her first year and almost burned down the castle.
"Think, Agatha. Once upon a time, you believed yourself an ugly witch, but instead, your destiny was to become a princess. To find ever after with the most coveted prince in our land. It would have been good's greatest victory, a restoration of all the values we'd lost. Kill the schoolmaster, send your evil friend home safe, and stay here with Tedros forever. As his future queen. All you had to do was take his hand before you disappeared. That would have been the correct fairy tale. But instead..."
She looked daggers at Sophie.
"You chose her." "And rightly so," Sophie riposted. "If you knew Agatha at all, you'd know she could never give me up for a boy."
She whirled to her friend, knowing this time Agatha would defend her. But again, Agatha didn't. She just gulped hard and stared at her muddy clumps. "What happened after we left?" Agatha said.
"The eviction."
The girls turned to Lady Lesso, who shuddered at the memory.
"After your kiss, students tried to return to their schools, but the evil towers ejected the Never Girls. 60 girls flung through windows into the bay, from stairs, classrooms, beds, toilets, common rooms. They tried to go back, but the evil gates barred their entry. All the Never Girls fled to Good for sanctuary. And the Evergirls welcomed them, inspired by your happy ending."
"As soon as they arrived, the Good Towers evicted the Ever-boys just as rudely," Professor Dovey went on. "The moment the boys were all gone, the castle magically changed to what it is now. Their portraits removed, murals repainted, friezes recarved, as if mirroring your tale. The school for good had become the school for girls."
And indeed, the glittering crests over her and Lady Lesso's hearts, once silver swans, were now sparkling blue butterflies. Agatha shook her head, confused.
"But those aren't ever boys from school," she pointed out the window. "Those are real princes."
"What happened here happened everywhere in the endless woods," Professor Dovey said gravely. "As your story spread like a plague, and princesses imagined a world without princes, the men were magically ejected from their castles and left homeless. They appealed to witches to break the curse, but they too had heard the tale of Sophie and Agatha. Stirred by the power of your bond, witches joined forces with princesses and took control of the kingdoms."
"Witches and princesses are friends," Sophie said in disbelief.
No one thought it possible until your fairy tale, said Professor Dovey. And now it's men and women who are enemies.
Agatha thought back to the flower ground, the twittering women in groups, some pretty and cheerful, some homely and queer, the few scraggly, lonely males.
But we don't want the princes homeless, Agatha cried. We don't want them to be enemies.
We certainly don't want them to smell, murmured Sophie. You made princes irrelevant, Lady Lesso retorted. You made them impotent. You made them obsolete. And now you've made them turn to a new leader for revenge.
The girls followed her eyes to the sea of wanted signs hoisted outside the gates, demanding Sophie's head at the orders of this leader.
The schoolmaster, Sophie broke in. We saw him. Did you now? Lady Lesso sneered. He's in the evil castle. We have to kill him. Sophie swiveled to Agatha. Tell her.
Agatha ignored the fluttering in her stomach. But he couldn't have lived, she said, almost to herself. She looked up.
You were there too, professors. All of us saw him die.
Indeed, said Professor Dovey. But that doesn't mean he isn't replaced.
Replaced? The girls blurted.
Naturally, Lady Lesso and I believed ourselves the best candidates, Professor Dovey said, smoothing her gown's beetle wings.
Homeless and hated, the princes needed leaders they could trust. We assured them the tale of Sophie and Agatha was closed forever. Under our protection, the Storian would restore boys and girls to balance, as it does good and evil. But just as we tried to bridge this peace between boys and girls, her face dimmed. Something odd happened. She thrust out the last page of their fairy tale and waited for the girls to say something.
They drew Tedros taller than he is, Sophie suggested.
Isn't something missing? The dean moaned.
Agatha remembered the storybook under her bed, the wedded princess and prince.
The end, she said.
Why doesn't it say the end?
Professor Dovey glared at her and slowly lifted the book to the light. Beneath the last line of their fairy tale, the two girls could see faded ink spelling those very two words before they had been erased.
What happened? Sophie breathed.
It seems your book has reopened, Professor Dovey said, guiding their eyes to all the other versions of their story splayed across the desk. The end had disappeared off each of them, too.
Sophie rifled through the pile. But how can we lose a happy ending?
Because one of you wished for a different one, Lady Lesso lashed, not looking at her. One of you wanted a new ever after. And now, one of you has put our school on the brink of war.
That's ludicrous, Sophie huffed. I know I wanted to be a princess, but I can't, can I? I saw what this place did to me and have no desire to spend more time in it, even if Gavaldon smells like horse bottom and has no endurable men. So if I didn't make the wish, then surely it's a mistake.
But now she saw who Lady Lesso was staring at, and her cheeks lost all blood. Sophie slowly turned to her friend, shadowed in the corner.
Aggie, at the Hollow you said you made a... That's not what you meant, right?
Agatha couldn't look at her. Sophie's hands were trembling.
Aggie, tell me it's not what you meant.
Agatha tried to find words, something to redeem herself.
All of this, Sophie gasped. Everything that happened is because of you.
Agatha burned scarlet. She spun to Lady Lesso. How do I fix it? How do I get Sophie home safe?
The evil teacher let the question dangle while she inspected her sharp red nails.
"It's simple," she said, finally lifting her eyes. "You must wish to end with each other at the same time. Wish for each other and only each other. And the Storian will write the end once more."
"And we'll leave the woods," Agatha pressed.
"Never to be hunted again, as long as your wish is true."
Agatha let out a rush of air. "We can fix it." She turned to Sophie. "We can get our ending back. The village won't hurt us." Sophie backed away. "What ending did you want?" "Don't do this," Agatha said.
"What else could you possibly want?"
Sophie demanded.
"It was a mistake, Sophie. Answer me."
"Sophie, please." Sophie locked her gaze.
"What did you wish for?"
"We can fix this now," Agatha begged.
"I'm afraid you can't."
Both girls turned.
"The Storian must write the end to seal your wish," said Professor Dovey, "and at the moment, it is unable."
"What do you mean?" Agatha flushed angrily. "Where is it?"
"Where it always is," said Lady Lesso, scowling back. "With the schoolmaster."
"Huh?" Agatha said. "But you said he was replace—" The flutter in her heart. The face she couldn't see. Agatha slowly looked up.
"Who doesn't want your ending sealed?" Lady Lesso purred. "Who wants a new ending to your fairy tale?"
She held up their story's last page. A boy walking into fog all alone.
"Who heard his princess's wish?"
Agatha whirled to the window. Lightning exploded over the schoolmaster's tower across the bay with a whip crack of thunder, and she saw the silver-masked shadow in its flash. Golden hair, a body of muscle, a glinting sword sheathed. The sky went dark, and he was gone. Agatha felt faint. All the attacks, all the destruction. "Him," Sophie whispered, crumpling against the wall. "You wished for him." Agatha searched for something to say, but one look at Sophie, curled up in a grubby pink heap, and she knew. There was nothing to say. "How?" Agatha whispered. "How could he hear it?"
"Because you wanted him to," Lady Lesso slashed, prowling towards Agatha. "From the day you left, Tedros believed one day you'd call for him. From the day you left, he and his boys hunted your village, trying to cross into woods beyond, until your wish finally opened the gates."
Agatha paled, watching Lady Lesso circle her.
"But your prince has to make sure his princess chooses him this time. He needs insurance you won't repeat your mistakes. So Tedros stole the Storian from under our noses, knowing the schoolmaster's tower follows the pen wherever it goes. Now he'll stop the Storian from writing the end to your tale until he has his new ending."
Agatha's stomach went cold. "What's the new ending?" she rasped. Lady Lesso stared through her.
"Killing Sophie."
Sophie slowly lifted her eyes, red and raw.
"Tedros believes killing Sophie will fix your fairy tale as it should have been," said Professor Dovey. "The witch dies, the princess free to her prince, your ending rewritten, just like Agatha wished."
Agatha couldn't breathe under Sophie's scorching stare.
Why don't you save Tedros the trouble? Sophie hissed. Kill this witch yourself.
That would solve everything, sighed Professor Dovey. Both girls turned.
Oh, dear, said their teacher. Did I say that out loud?
She'll die soon enough,
Lady Lesso snarled.
Tedros counted on Sophie coming here for protection. Now he and his army will come to kill her.
Army? Agatha blanched. He has an army.
You've forgotten about his school, said Lady Lesso.
Agatha swung her head to the window. Through the sheets of rain she could see the red hood skulking around Evil's towers, in black leather uniforms crested with scarlet snakes and shiny black boots. Slowly she lowered her eyes to the gate on the castle shores, rusted iron words arched over it. The school for boy, vengeance and restitution.
One wish has so many consequences, doesn't it? Lady Lesso said, leering at Agatha. Tedros has promised whoever kills Sophie half his father's treasure as a reward. Needless to say, both the Ever and Never boys took up the challenge.
As did all those princes outside, Professor Dovey said, watching the filthy masses swarming the gates.
Tedros knows he can't attack us with just his school. Our teachers wouldn't give up Sophie without a fight. So he's using the princes to force our hand, Lady Lesso groused. I cast a shield around the perimeter of both schools to keep them out, but if the princes get through, Tedros will have enough men to storm our castle and kill Sophie.
Agatha stared out at the red fortress, still numb. The Storians in a boys' school.
Either free it and get Sophie home alive, or kiss Tedros before he kills her.
Professor Dovey met Agatha's shocked eyes.
Kiss your prince and mean it, and you'll stay here with him ever after. Sophie will be gone from your story forever and vanish home alone.
Home alone? Sophie gasped as if she'd been shot. Gavaldon, alone, while she gets him.
These are the only two endings that can prevent war, Professor Dovey said.
The only sound in the room was the echo of murderous princes. Sophie gave Agatha a horrible look and curled back into her ball.
Tedros, Agatha gritted. How could you wish for a boy who'd take love this far? How could you wish for a boy who'd kill her best friend? Her old witchy self would never have let this happen.
Third option, she said, storming to the door. Tell Tedros he's a delusional ass.
No!
Agatha turned.
You wished for him,
Sophie spat, blotched with rage.
And you want me to trust you two alone?
Agatha cowered. Sophie looked even more a witch than she did in the graveyard.
I won't intervene in your lover's quarrel, but I suggest Agatha make her choice soon, Lady Lesso snapped. Once Tedros breaks the princes through my shield, all our lives will be in danger.
We'll hide you and Sophie in the Blue Forest until you have a plan,
Professor Dovey said to Agatha, pulling out a ring of keys. None of the girls can know you've come. Agatha looked up, dazed. Why not?
Because, unlike your two teachers, they think this is the best thing that's ever happened,
said a honey-smooth voice. The two professors and two girls turned to see a tall, ravishing woman push through the door, milky smooth and full-bosomed in a teacher's electric blue dress decorated with a pattern of butterflies. She had a waterfall of chestnut hair to her mid-back, forest-green eyes under thick, dark brows, a luscious pink mouth,
and a gap between her two shiny front teeth. "My brother's office," she said, biting her bee-stung lips. "I wasn't aware it was where we held secret meetings."
"It's the only place we can't be overheard," Lady Lasso returned, her voice oddly tentative.
"Well, I do believe I should have been alerted to our honoured guests," the woman said breathily, turning to Sophie and Agatha. "After all, they are the reason this magnificent school exists." The two girls gawped at her. "We've been meticulously preparing for your arrival," said the stranger, knitting her arched brows, "and we nearly may have missed it." She flashed a glare at the two teachers. Agatha shook her head. "But how did you know we were come?"
"Goodness, you two look frightful," the woman said, magically restoring their faces and dresses with her finger. Only Sophie's dress magically lost its pink colour, too, and drained blank white. Sophie grabbed her hem. "What happened to my—"
"Come, girls." The woman sashayed for the door. "We've put your books and schedules in your room."
"Schedules?" Professor Dovey launched to her feet. "You're not thinking of them going to class, Evelyn."
The woman twirled. "As long as they're at my school, they will attend class and abide by the rules, which includes staying in their school at all times. Surely you don't object to the rules?"
Sophie and Agatha waited for the professors to indeed object, but Dovey and Lesso were curiously quiet, eyes on a pair of blue butterflies that had settled on the tips of their noses.
"I see our former deans neglected to inform you about the most important change at your new school," the stranger said, smiling at the two girls. "Evelyn Seder, Dean of the School for Girls. Sorry for the hurry. I don't want to keep everyone waiting. Follow me, please."
As she turned and swept through the door, Sophie saw the two butterflies land on her matching dress and vanish magically into its pattern. She let out a breath of surprise.
"Keep who waiting?"
As more butterflies fell into her dress, the beautiful woman didn't look back.
"Your army,"
she said, as if she'd just listened to their entire conversation. Chapter 6. Her name is Yara.
"An army dedicated to producing stories just like yours," said Dean Seder, clacking through the sun-washed breezeway from valour to honour in her blue glass heels. "Your tale was just a taste of what princesses and witches can do together. Here, you'll lead an entire school."
"A school?" Agatha choked, chasing her down the honour stairs. "We need to go home."
"You see, the former deans and I have a difference of opinion," said Dean Seder, as butterflies flew in from every direction and vanished into her dress. "They think you must leave our world to find your happy ending together. And I think you must stay."
"But the boys are going to kill me,"
Sophie said, bumping Agatha hard as she passed.
"Let's say you do break into a castle full of bloodthirsty males," the dean said, sweeping her buxom behind through the foyer. "Let's say you free the Storian against all odds."
She stopped outside the frosted doors of the Gallery of Good.
"The wish won't work unless you mean it."
She gazed at Sophie.
"How can you wish for Agatha if you know she wants her prince?"
The dean turned to Agatha.
"How can you wish for Sophie if you fear the witch inside?"
She leaned in so close the girls could smell her flawless honey-cream skin. How can you wish for someone you do not trust? Sophie's and Agatha's eyes met dartingly, hoping the other would argue. Neither did. Your friendship must be fixed before you can go home, and here you will fix what is broken, Dean Seder said, a last butterfly fluttering into her dress. Fairy tales have trained us to believe a beautiful bond like yours cannot last. Why? Because a boy must come between you. A boy so threatened by your story that he's willing to kill, to destroy it. But at my school, we teach you the truth. She opened the door to pitch darkness. That a girl without a boy is the greatest happy ending of all. Her finger magically lit a torch, and the flame roared red to a burst of drums. Agatha and Sophie leapt back. 20 rows of girls stood frozen, heads bowed, each wearing a white veil, royal blue harem pants and a light blue bodice stitched with a butterfly crest over the heart. There were more than 100 of them, stretching through the exhibits of the museum, past its open rear doors and into the vast ballroom of Good Hall. Faces obscured, they stood eerily still, arms raised with hands to opposite elbows as if summoning genies. Hovering above them, just beneath the ceiling, 2 more veiled girls on magic carpets beat snare drums faster and faster. At the front of this parade was a lone girl without anyone else in her row. Her veil was blue instead of white, her hair ginger red, and the pallid skin on her thin arms dotted with strawberry freckles. Slowly, she raised her arms. The drums stopped. With an untamed screech, the girl blew a blast of fire that singed the magic carpets and sent Agatha and Sophie quailing from flames. As the drums beat once more, the girl whipped into a whirling belly dance, punctuating each move with a wild whistle or trill. "One look at her, and Tedros will forget all about his wish-maker," said Sophie coldly. "Sophie, I'm sorry." Agatha shifted closer to her friend. "I really am." Sophie shifted away. "I'd never lose you for a boy," Agatha prodded, but eyeing the dancing girl, she suddenly felt a twinge of jealousy. Had Tedros seen her? She crushed the thought. Tedros wanted to kill her best friend, and she was still thinking of him? "He's the enemy, you idiot." Stefan's face haunted her, begging her to return Sophie home safe. Where was the Agatha who'd do anything to protect her best friend? The one who had control over her feelings? The one who was good? By now, the rows behind started to echo the leader's dance, following with crisp hand movements. Then, with a sudden flourish, the girls all turned to each other and danced in pairs. Hands brushed and clasped as they touched backs before lifting arms and switching places, never losing the touch of their palms. In their glinting blue harem pants and white veils, they looked like swaying sea anemones. Despite the storm in her heart, Sophie managed a smile. She'd never seen something so beautiful. Then again, she'd never seen girls dance without boys. Agatha didn't like Sophie's expression. "Sophie, I need to talk to Tedros."
"No.
I said I'm sorry, you have to let me fix it."
"No."
"The fool thinks I want you killed," Agatha said, smacking away a blue butterfly on her shoulder. "I'm the only one who can make him see reason." A prince who thinks he's schoolmaster bet half his fortune on my head, and you think he'll see reason," Sophie said, letting the butterfly perch on her. "I'm surprised good ever wins if it's this naive." Agatha glanced at the dean's back to them. She couldn't possibly eavesdrop with the drums pounding and the dancing girl hooting like a hyena, but Agatha had the strange feeling she could hear everything. "Sophie, I lost myself for a moment," she whispered. "It was a mistake." Sophie watched the lead girl spew another jet of fire.
"Maybe the dean is right," she said, not whispering at all. "Maybe I should stay here."
"What? We don't even know where she came from, let alone how she's dean. You saw the look on Professor Dovey's face. You can't trust her. Right now, I trust her more than I trust you." Agatha could have sworn she saw the dean grin. "You're not safe here, Sophie. Tedros will come for you."
"Let him. That's what you want, isn't it?"
"I want you home alive," Agatha begged. "I want us to forget ever coming to the school for good and evil. I don't want Tedros." Sophie whirled, snarling.
"Then why did you wish for him?"
Agatha froze. "Let the gifts begin," the dean decreed.
"Gifts?"
Sophie spun from Agatha, beaming. "At last, some good news." She sidled up to the dean as the veiled girls fanned to the walls like a clamshell opening, leaving a wide aisle down the middle. Agatha followed warily, remembering what this world had once done to her and her best friend. The longer they stayed here, the longer they were in danger. She had to get Sophie home. Now. Moving into the sunlight of a small window, she noticed the museum exhibits had changed. Evidence of boys' achievements had all been stripped and replaced with relics from her and Sophie's fairy tale. Agatha's Evergirl uniform, Sophie's lunchtime lectures sign, Agatha's note to Sophie during the trial by tale, the slashed lock of hair from Sophie's doom room punishment, and dozens of others, each enshrined in a blue-tinted glass case. On the main wall, the ever-after mural, which once celebrated the marriage of prince and princess, was now covered with a navy canvas, embroidered with butterflies. Indeed, the only holdover was Professor Seder's old nook of paintings off the far corner. As a seer who could glimpse the future, the former history teacher had once drawn paintings of every reader who had come from Gavaldon to the School for Good and Evil. Whenever Agatha needed answers, she always drifted back to these paintings, finding new clues. All she wanted was to study them again now, but there were two veiled girls marching toward her down the aisle, carrying an enormous purple vase. "From Maiden Vale," said Dean Seder, honeyed voice now deep and commanding, "an urn from Princess Rizelda, who, like hundreds of others, heard your story and realized she'd be happier without her prince. She had his throne burned and offers the ashes to you." The girls held up the urn to Sophie and Agatha, who peered at its carving of a prince magically ejected out a castle window into crocodiles below.
"We don't want it," Agatha crabbed.
"Shall we put it in my room?" smiled Sophie, turning to the dean.
"Room?" Agatha blurted.
"Sophie, you're not staying..." But now two girls were marching down the aisle with oriental bamboo drapes.
"From Piffle-Paff Hills," the dean boomed, "a hand-painted tree curtain from Princess Sayori, who read your tale and realized that without princes, princesses and witches are happier."
Its exquisitely painted bamboo reeds depicted a princess and witch embracing in one panel, while in the other, a prince who looked a lot like Tedros was flogged to a pulp by a beast.
"This is horrible," Agatha snapped.
Hang them by my bed, Sophie chimed to the two veiled girls. What's next?
The dean pointed a gold-lacquered nail down the aisle.
From Netherwood, a tapestry of homeless princes.
I wish Professor Dovey and Lady Lesso could appreciate someone as chic as you, Sophie fawned to the dean as the procession of prince-abusing gifts continued, including Prince Voodoo dolls, looted prince swords, and a carpet made out of prince hair.
Do classes start today?
The dean grinned as she glided away.
Including mine.
You're not serious, Agatha hissed to Sophie. Now you want to go to class.
Let's hope they renovated those rooms made of candy.
Sophie hand-combed her hair, readying for the day.
I'm allergic to the smell.
Sophie, there's a bounty on your head.
And lastly, a gift from me, declared Dean Seder, standing in front of the covered ever-after mural. Students, your old school taught you balance was about vanquishing good or evil. But how can there be balance between evers and nevers until there is balance between boys and girls? It's no mistake our readers have returned to join our school, for their fairy tale remains unfinished. She looked right at the two girls, and the battle for its ending just begun. She let the canvas fall. Agatha and Sophie drew breaths. The words, ever after, giant and glimmering, still peaked from painted clouds at the top of the mural in gold block letters. Everything else had been redone. Now the scene depicted two sprawling blue glass castles around a lake, as girls in azure uniforms gathered on tower balconies, basked on the lakeshores, and strolled the gated grounds. Some of these girls were beautiful, some were ugly, but they worked, lived, and idled together without division, as if witches and princesses were always meant to be friends. There were boys in the painting, too, if one could call them that. With black peasant rags and ogreishly distorted faces, they scooped manure, raked a blue forest behind the castle, and built up the towers in miserable chain gangs before retreating to filthy prison slums at the fringes of the gates. Female overseers drove them like chattel, and the boys put up no fight. Slaves resigned to eternal servitude. Agatha's eyes rose to the top of the painting, where haloed in sun, two women with crystal diadems surveyed their kingdom from the highest balcony. It's us, Sophie gasped. It's this school, scowled Agatha. You're true ever after, the dean said, stepping between them. Captains of these hallowed halls, leading girls to a princeless future. Agatha grimaced at the vision of ever-boys and never-boys, hated and enslaved. "This school isn't our ending," she said, turning to Sophie. "Tell her we have to leave." But Sophie was gazing at the painting, eyes wide.
"How do we make it come true?"
Agatha stiffened.
"How all heroes win their happy ending, dear," the dean said, touching both their shoulders. "By facing the enemy." She grinned out the window at Tedros's tower, "and slaying him."
Agatha and Sophie locked eyes in surprise.
"My cherished students," the dean swept her hand over the crowd, "welcome our readers back to school." With a roar, the mob tore off their veils and rushed the two girls. "You're home," gushed Rena, embracing Agatha with freckly Millicent, while green-skinned Mona and one-eyed Arachne smooshed Sophie into a hug.
"Didn't know we were friends,"
Sophie croaked, suffocated.
We're on your side against Tedros.
Arachne cheered, Millicent on her arm, as if Evers and Nevers were suddenly bosom buddies.
All of us!
You're our heroes, Rena said to Agatha, who noticed the Arabian princess looked a bit bigger in the bottom. You and Sophie taught us the truth about boys. Agatha fumbled for words before a shrieking blur bear-hugged her and Sophie.
My roommates, Beatrix yipped. Aren't you excited? The Dean put you both with me.
Neither Sophie nor Agatha had time to process this cataclysm because they were goggling at something more alarming.
Your hair, Sophie cried. No boys means no need to look like stupid princesses, Beatrix said, rubbing her shaved head proudly. Think about how much time I wasted last year on Tedros and balls and beautifying all day. And for what? Now I read, I study, I learned to speak elf. I finally know what's going on in our world.
But what about beautification? Sophie fretted.
That is long gone. There is no beauty or ugliness at the school for girls, said Rena, who, Sophie saw with horror, wasn't wearing a shred of makeup. We wear pants, we don't do our nails, we even eat cheese.
Sophie gagged and looked for the dean, but butterflies were trailing her out of the gallery.
But surely some lipstick is allowed.
You could do whatever you want, Arachne said, showing off a smatter of hideous blush on both cheeks. Nevers can groom. Evers don't have to. It's all your choice.
Millicent leaned in with a grin.
I haven't washed my hair for a month.
Sophie and Agatha both recoiled, only for the latter to be tackled by a yelping heap.
Yay! You're here, my best friend in the whole world.
Kiko gave Sophie a phony smile.
And you too.
Then Kiko hugged Agatha again, her brown, almond-shaped eyes tearing up.
You don't know how much I prayed for you to come back. It's like heaven here. Wait until you take history. The Dean teaches it, and we go into the stories, and there's dance lessons, and a school newspaper, and a book club, and we put on a play instead of a ball, and we can sleep in each other's rooms, and...
Kiko couldn't finish because there were flocks of girls besieging Sophie and Agatha now, each girl acting as if she was their best friend too. Agatha tried to fend off her horde and lunged to Sophie across the masses.
We have to get out of here right now.
She tripped and landed face first.
Will you sign my storybook?
Giselle asked, black hair sheared into a blue mohawk. Agatha crawled back like a crab into more clamouring fans. As girls thrust books, cards, body parts for Sophie to sign, Beatrix forced the girls into a receiving line and let them pay tribute one by one. Sophie could hardly tell who was from good and who from evil anymore, since more of the Evergirls had hacked their hair and let their figures go, while a large number of Nevergirls were experimenting with makeup and diets. Meanwhile, Agatha finally extricated herself from her gaggle, but just as she grabbed Sophie's arm to end this idiocy, she froze still. The dancing girl shuffled towards them in her sky-blue veil. Gangly as an egret, she didn't so much walk as tiptoe, the heels of her white slippers never touching the ground. She pattered down the aisle, past gaping girls, until she stopped sharply in front of the two readers. The girl raised her head of flowing red hair and lifted the veil from her face. Sophie and Agatha were both very confused. She didn't look like any girl they'd ever seen, and yet she seemed almost familiar. She had a long, pointy nose, a strong jaw, and close-set blue eyes. Her neck was strangely long, and her cropped blouse revealed perfect stomach muscles that rippled beneath her pale, freckled skin. The girl smiled ethereally, looked into their eyes, and unleashed a low squawk that made Sophie and Agatha jump. Then she blew them a kiss, replaced her veil, and shuffled out of the hall. All the girls watched her in dumb